The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization said recently that new infections of Ebola were declining in Liberia. However, the disease continues to pose a threat in the country and the region. The outbreak has infected close to 10,000 people and killed more than 4,000 people in West Africa. New cases continue to be reported from Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, and the disease has also affected many healthcare workers. On the program today, we will discuss Ebola and look at how people and some healthcare workers are trained to help prevent the disease from spreading. Our phone guest today is Marion Suba, country representative for JPIGO, an affiliate organization with Johns Hopkins University. Let me remind our listeners, if you'd like to participate in the program with your question or comment, you can call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com. We'll discuss the Ebola epidemic, looking at training in a moment. But first, VOA's Kim Lewis has this Q&A.
I think we can see the most improvements in Liberia. I think there's a lot of efforts that has also been put there. That's also where MSF is having the biggest isolation centers. And apart from that, MSF has been distributing kits, like protection kits, to the public. So that could have made an impact. And besides that, MSF has also done a mass malaria prophylaxis, that prevention at least tries to ease up the burden of other illnesses so that you can concentrate on Ebola. So far, this seems to be working. But we have seen a bit of a drop in terms of admission in our isolation centers. We're trying to investigate why we have this drop, because we don't consider that the epidemic is now reducing. But I think there's also policies that have been passed by the government, which is compulsory cremation of bodies, and maybe the population, they're not keen in taking that up. So we may tend to see possible decline of this. At the same time, you see that the public transport has also been affected, because most of the taxi drivers who have been bringing patients to the hospital have also been infected, and some of them have died. So the numbers of public transport that used to bring patients to facilities has reduced as well.
You mentioned that you all are giving out protection kits. Can you tell us what is in those kits?
Those are things like gloves and masks and chlorine, which is also used for washing hands. It's a quite effective disinfectant against Ebola. They were targeting about 300,000 families.
Now, looking at Sierra Leone, you have now acknowledge that Ebola has spread to all of the districts there. Why does Ebola continue to spread in Sierra Leone?
That's also where MSF has been running the facilities in Calhoun, and also started another one in Bo. But I think the government response has been hampered also by the lack of resources and coordination, both the national and the district level. So there was no strong surveillance system that was put in place. With so many Ebola deaths, we are seeing increased number also in orphanage children homes and centers where they lack also caregivers. So it's a bit of an upskill right now in Sierra Leone. In terms of international response, of course, we're beginning to see this coming through, but I think it's slow and it's also uncoordinated, which makes it not easy to have a direct impact right away. There's so many factors into this that makes Sierra Leone situation getting worse than better at the moment.
Looking at Guinea, has Guinea become stabilized now with the Ebola crisis?
Conakry is where we see it has stabilized a little bit. The surveillance there is actually working. We are seeing that the cases are not really increasing, but it's still not under control. So MSF is also trying as much as possible to construct new treatment centers that are in a place called Donka, where we have some other new cases. So Conakry is stabilizing, but other places in Guinea is not under control.
Also, if you could just briefly touch on the latest Ebola situation in Mali.
Mali, there was one case that the person has so far died, And MSF, because we have projects in that country as well, MSF has gone into assisting, putting up centers so that we can try as much as possible to control the epidemic before it gets worse.
A couple of months ago when we talked, you had mentioned how people were afraid to go to healthcare facilities for fear of getting Ebola. Is that fear still there, and are people following precautionary procedures?
The fear, of course, is still there. And what is more now, we're actually seeing also fear of the people who have recovered, because until now, over 1,200 people have been discharged from our facilities. And they have to go back to the community. So there's that fear that this person has had Ebola before and is still going to spread it, which is not true. So there's that fear of discharged patients, and also there's stigma also and fear of health workers who are working in these facilities from their families that they are actually going to spread the disease as well. So this is a little bit change of trend right now, that the stigma of patients being discharged and the staff working in these facilities they are facing at the moment.
What do you see as the most critical gaps right now?
We can say still everything is still a gap. We did not really see a lot of these isolation centers start providing services. We know that other aid organizations have come in, they have started constructing isolation centers, but the services have not yet started to actually give that necessary impact. We also see a gap in training of health staff. We see quite a big gap, of course, on infection control, because the kits, the distribution of kits that we're doing in Liberia is one thing, but we need to also educate them on how to use them and how to actually control the infection. Contact tracing is still a big gap. Epidemiological surveillance is another one. Alert and referral system is still a big gap. Community education and mobilizing is still a gap. So I can just say we still need everything in those three countries.
That was James Kambaki, Human Resources Representative for Doctors Without Borders. He spoke with Voice of America's reporter Kim Lewis from Johannesburg. Again today, our guest is Marion Suba, J. Paigo Country Representative for Liberia. Now, J. Paigo has been involved in this recent Ebola outbreak in West Africa. Can you tell us, in terms of what you are doing in terms of addressing the Ebola outbreak?
JPAIGO is working in two ways in Liberia, like I said earlier. One is with the rebuilding basic health services, and the other is with JPAIGO as an organization and NGO with separate programs. With the Ebola response, we're part of RPHS, looking at the training aspect, training health workers in different aspects of Ebola prevention and care for patients. We were also, with RBHS, we incorporated the WHO guideline. We shared, JPAIGO has a lot of training materials on infection prevention before the Ebola outbreak. So we also shared some of that material with the Ministry of Health. Secondly, in terms of JPAIGO itself, we have even done a learning resource package for Ebola response training health workers that emphasize care for maternal neonatal, like newborns, mothers and newborns who may be affected with Ebola.
Okay.
We are also conducting public awareness. Mm-hmm. For the general public, like on Friday, on Monday, we are supposed to go out to the barracks to do some general awareness. And there is another group that is doing psychosocial care. We are also going to do awareness for them on Ebola and how they can prevent themselves and their communities from getting Ebola.
You are presently in Liberia. Can you give us a sense of the situation with regards to Ebola, the Ebola crisis? Can you give us a sense of what you are seeing?
Okay, right now with the response, the Ministry of Health is like leading the task force for the Ebola response. We have different committees, but we have OFDA, we have CDC, We have the WHO and many NGO partners in the country and looking at every aspect of the response. We have a case management subcommittee that looks at care for patients in the ETU and then focuses on training. And then we have a social mobilization committee that look at training for community levels and developing messages that you can play either on the radio or text message. We have, for our community, it's called the IPC Task Force that is headed by RBHF and Dr. Rose McCauley. And that one with WHO and CDC, we have a process for training and supervising health workers to make sure that they practice, like we say in Liberia, is keep safe and keep serving. So, of course, the U.S. government is now in country trying to construct the ETUs, additional ETUs. And also in country, we are looking at this whole thing of establishing community care centers that many NGOs are trying to operate and open. So there's a lot of work going on. We're still trying to work on public awareness, trying to make people aware of what to do, especially in terms of their response to a dead person, not to touch, or not even to touch a sick person unprotected, that they need to really have a barrier.
Okay.
A lot of work is going on. A lot of partners are in country.
Now, when we look at the way healthcare workers have been affected and infected by this, it's really troubling to know that the people who are supposed to take care of those who are sick are themselves very much as patients as well. So can you give us an idea of what type of training, what does it consist of? What do you tell the healthcare workers, in a general healthcare setting, in a general hospital, such as a maternity ward? Is the training different in the maternity ward as it will be perhaps in infectious diseases or pediatric ward? Or, is this the same training for the whole body of healthcare workers, or does it differ depending on the area where they work?
For everybody, we talk about what is the disease, how is it transmitted, what is signs and symptoms for all categories of health workers, what is signs and symptoms, and we talk about how to prevent transmission. In that, as health workers, you want to practice universal precaution. That's the first thing. And you want to use PPE. One of the issues that happens in Liberia, Ebola is like malaria. Malaria was the number one cause of morbidity in country. And even though it's such a vast number of patients come down with malaria, people also have so many malaria episodes that they think they know when they have malaria. And so some people go to the health facility and they come and you have malaria. Like I was telling somebody that a lot of people have malaria. But many times we have not had many adults dying from malaria. And because malaria is so common, and you can find treatment for it everywhere and anywhere, people go to the health facility and the health worker sees that you have malaria, and they have a baby that has measles or a mother that is bleeding. They will say, wait, it's just malaria, or it's only malaria. And they treat other things, and then they can take care of you. And people were coming to health facilities, or some of the patients, they go into the medicine stores, the drug stores, or the pharmacies, and they want to, and they just ask for the malaria medicine off the shelf. And the person that is behind the counter serves them malaria medicine, just like the way you may buy paracetamol or something in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And they give them that medicine and they go. And it was the same thing with health workers. For me, when it first started, health workers were assuming just malaria, and they were not taking the precautions that they had to take. Many of the facilities also told us that they did not have adequate PPEs. Of course, we never had this kind of situation in country, so we never had this kind of PPE need ever. So it was difficult for people to really get it. But we teach everybody how to prevent it and how to protect themselves. For the hospitals and for the treatment centers, we use more full PPE. We call it enhanced PPE. That means you put on the suit, goggles, the mask, everything. But in all the other facilities, you want to use your gloves before you touch anybody.
What about for the market vendors? How do they, what are the steps they should take?
Okay, what we are telling the market, the people in the drugstores or the vendors, NGOs are also training them. Mental Initiative, along with the pharmacy board, are training the drugstores and medicine stores. And what we have been telling them in the training is now we have Ebola. Before, we never had Ebola. So if somebody come to you, some people may decide that I want to touch them to see if they have a fever.
Mm-hmm.
We say, if the person comes and they have, so you tell them the symptoms, the signs and symptoms of malaria, just like the way we do with the general population. And so these are the signs and symptoms. Now, if somebody come to you with fever and vomiting, do not touch them.
Mm-hmm.
This may not be malaria,
mm-hmm.
you know, now that we have an outbreak. So we are asking everybody to be, of course, every place has hand washing before you enter the place, even to some homes, but mostly the business areas, everywhere has in offices, you have hand washing things, and so you can wash your hand or step to the chlorine mat before you go in. And so that is also the things that are being taught to the medicine stores.
Well, it's time to take a short break, and we'll continue our discussion with Marion Suba, J. Paigo country representative in Liberia, in a moment. But first, Guinean authorities say they are planning to move the country's main Ebola treatment center to a larger site. The center has been overwhelmed by new cases in the past month. VOA's Karim Karamara took a tour of the center and met with a woman recently cured of Ebola, who explained her ordeal.
The Ebola Treatment Center at Donga Hospital in Conakry has more than 70 patients admitted. The center has only 48 beds. Many of the sick are not from Conakry, but they came here to seek treatment. The National Coordination Team Against Ebola says it is opening more treatment centers across the country to stop patients from coming to Conakry. This center at Donga Hospital is also being moved and expanded. 30-year-old Damfron Safi, an Ebola survivor, was treated here. She said the hardest part of her ordeal came after she was released.
Par contre, quand je suis sortie, ça faisait tellement mal que moi-même je souhaitais qu'on me fasse encore.
She says when she was released, the situation was painful and she wanted to return back to the center. She says she found she had already been rejected. No one wants to be near her or have contact with her anymore. She says she has been totally stigmatized. Safi has tested negative for Ebola. She is no longer contagious and considered immune to reinfection, but her family rejected her. She says she lost her job as a teacher. She said school authorities told her there is no room for her in the classroom because with her presence will mean the school will be stigmatized. So she has come back to the treatment center where she is helping doctors care for patients. She provides emotional support and tries to reassure patients that they can be cured. She tells them not to be afraid of doctors who, for safety reasons, must wear head-to-toe protective gear. Safi is one of about 600 people believed to have been cured of Ebola in Guinea. She says Guinea must do more to help survivors. She says it is not an easy task to treat an Ebola patient, but now, she says, is also the time to help those cured from Ebola to have their place in the society. This regional epidemic started in southeastern Guinea last year, and it has spread and continues to resurge in various parts of the country. The capital, Conakry, continues to report new cases as well as several towns in the southeast. Guinea has opened new treatment centers in Forikaria and Kindia near the Sierra Leonean border. Each center has 20 beds and 10 doctors. President Alpha Conde says Ebola will be kicked out of the country by the end of the year. Schools remain shut. Health workers continue to complain that the government is not paying their allowances. Karim Kamara for VOA News, Conakry.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic on Health Chat is Ebola. We continue to look at Ebola on the program today. And our guest is Marion Suba. She is a country representative for JPIGO in Liberia. We'll continue our discussion in a moment with Marion Suba, but first, Ebola cases in some areas of Sierra Leone are increasing 9 times faster than they were 2 months ago, according to a report recently released by Africa Governance Initiative. Emmanuel Adeleke, the acting supervisor of a burial team in the capital of Freetown, tells Ricky Shyrock of VOA there has been an increase in calls to pick up Ebola victims at their homes.
Even this last month, we have more cases in Freetown, more like east end of Western Area Urban. We have more cases around this end.
About how many times a day is your team going out to pick up bodies?
Sometimes we can go out up to 5 times or 6 times. Only my team, because now we have more teams, my team can go out for even 6 or 7 times.
When I talked to you last month, you were picking up a maximum of 4 bodies a day.
If the situation gets worse, then we can go and bury the first body that we have collected, and then to come back for another lot if the other teams are allocated to other environments.
So do you feel like in Freetown the disease is spreading quicker than it was a couple months ago?
Yeah, it's spreading more, yeah. You find out that it's hard to collect the sick people. That is causing it for it to spread more, and they can't collect the sick people early. It's very hard to collect the sick people, that is why.
The people who are sick are having to stay at home because the ambulances aren't coming to get them?
Yeah, they are staying at home. And when we collect the body, most of the time we'll call and say there is a sick person here. It will take time before they go there to collect the body. And in Freetown, some of the environments are not safe. Some of the people just go to their neighbors and then mix with them and then can infect their other neighbors. Because if the person is sick and then they quarantine the house immediately, then it will be safe. But it will take time before the surveillance team can go and collect the sick person, then go the person to the center that it will take care of the person.
Are you often seeing when you go to pick up a dead body that has died of Ebola, you're finding that somebody else at the house is already ill?
Yes, most of the time, maybe like the people that are closer to the person that is dead, most of the time they will be infected, and then we'll try to call on the surveillance team to come and collect the sick people, inform them about that, because we are not in charge of collecting sick people, we are in charge of collecting the dead.
How long is the surveillance team coming to pick up the people who are already sick usually?
5 or 6 hours from that time, then they will come and collect them. Maybe it will take 1, 2, 3 days before they collect the others.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you do as a supervisor of a burial team in Freetown?
We have a command center that will call on us. When they call on me, they give me alerts for the day. If it's 3, 4, 5 alerts, then after any cups that we collect, I'll call on the center again. I've collected these cups and then disinfect the house that the person was before he or she died, and then try to talk to my team and then work with them for us to go to the other environment, make sure they are safe always.
Some groups say that half of new Ebola infections come from the dead body. So do you worry about yourself becoming infected?
I can say I'm safe when I'm in the burial team because we are all working together because we take our precautions and we take our steps according to how we are taught to take them. So I'm not scared about that.
And that was Emmanuel Adeleke, acting supervisor of an Ebola burial team. He was speaking to Ricky Shryock from Freetown, Sierra Leone. And our guest today again is Marion Suba, J. Paigo, country representative.
What about the when you approach the communities to raise awareness and educate people, how do you engage the community? Do you go through the religious leaders? Do you go through the elders? Or you just reach out to everyone? What are the steps to ensure that people, the message resonates to people?
For Chipaiko, we were working with community at community level for family planning. So we're working with religious leaders, both Christian and Muslim religious leaders. We're working with marketers to provide family planning services. And we're working with beauty stores, beauty shops, with salons and barber shops. We're also working with traditional midwives. These people are in communities. So we went back to them, like the Muslim religious leaders or the Christian religious leaders. We went back to them and we got them together and we did a training for them. We even went with some people at the mosque and we provided like hand washing equipment for people who did not have hand washing things, or in the community at a center place, in the market. It's the same thing, but for everybody, we talk about this Ebola, how, what caused the Ebola. And then we have the practice of how you mix the chlorine solution. What we do with just general community, we have been working in community health. And so what we did was, in terms of getting maternal neonatal health, you know, Liberia is a country that has one of the highest maternal mortality in the world. So we're trying to work with these people for them to work in reducing maternal mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So we met commissioners. That's how we do the program in terms of community. We get to the commissioner or the superintendent, the commissioner, the chiefs, the women leaders, the youth leaders, the media, into whichever local community. And so now we are talking about what is Ebola, how you can prevent yourself from getting Ebola or your
family from Ebola. Marion Suba, thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Health Chat. That was Marion Suba, J. Paigo country representative, joining us from Monrovia, Liberia. Thanks to all of you for tuning in to for this edition of Health Chat, and thanks to all of our affiliates in Africa for putting on air Health Chat every week. Don't forget to keep the conversation going on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington, with producer Jackson Vungani. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Sports fans, this is the voice of America, Sonny Young. Please join me Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC for the Sunny Side of Sports. On Fridays, you can also hear my expanded 30-minute show at 17:30 UTC right here on the voice of America.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.